The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good morning. My name is Taylor Downs. I'm one of the student pastors and the young adult pastor here at Academy Christian. And last week, if you were here, you were promised that we were going to have fun today. All right. And so they throw up the youth pastor and like, oh, go have fun. Okay. And so we're going to have fun. We're going to play a little game. We're going to start with a game. Okay. This game is called Simon Says. And so if you're in the building, you can join us online if you want to in this game. And so we're going to play a little game. Simon Says. So I need everybody to stand up. Wow. All right, all of you who stood up, you lost, okay? Way to go. All of you who stayed seated, you are the winners of today's game. Give yourself a nice little clap. Wasn't that so much fun? We had so much fun today. Okay, awesome. All right, we're going to jump right into this. That was all the fun we have. Okay, we're going to jump right into this. So we're going to start off by just reading this passage of scripture together. And so what I do need you to do is stand up, and we're going to read this. Okay, Simon says stand up, okay? Please stand up. And we're going to read the passage of scripture together like we have every week. And so today is kind of our final week in this series. And so I just want us to read the whole chapter, Psalms 23, all the way from start to finish. And so here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you for these words that were written so long ago, but they're so powerful today. So God, I ask and pray that we can continue to learn from your word, that we continue to glean from David's writings of the Good Shepherd. God, you are the good shepherd in our life. Help us to recognize that. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated. Or Simon says you can be seated. Some of you are still trying to play this game, okay? Now, I have loved studying this passage of scripture over the last couple of weeks, and I think we've learned some pretty cool things, some pretty good things over the last couple of weeks. And so a couple of things that we've learned a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, we learned, even though I don't have everything I want, I have everything I need. And I think that's a great reminder for even myself, because sometimes I can get into that place where I'm always, man, I wish I just had this, or I wish I had this, and I wish this was better. And so there's this thing that we have to understand, is that even though we don't have everything we want, God gives us everything that we need if he is our good shepherd. And then last week, which if you were here, it was a pretty heavy message. But we talked about, even though life may appear overwhelming, which a lot of the times it does, right? Can we get an amen that sometimes life is chaotic, it has chaos, it has tough things. We talked about the valley of the shadow of death. So even though life may feel overwhelming, God's presence is permanent. And so we looked at that the good shepherd is with us always. And I loved what Brian said. He kind of gave us that idea that sometimes God calms the storm, but a lot of the times, and maybe even most of the time in our life, he calms the child, right? So even when we're in the midst of those struggles, even when we're in the midst of the valleys, God is still there trying to give us peace and trying to be there. Well, today we're going to be kind of looking at the last two verses of this psalm. And so you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so what we need to recognize is that when the Lord is your shepherd, when you let Jesus be the shepherd of your life, his love surrounds you now and forever. His love surrounds us. And see, we're going to talk about what the love of the good shepherd is. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is what is the love of the good shepherd? What is the love that surrounds us? And so let's kind of jump right in here and look at the first thing that the love of the good shepherd is. So first off, it is a love that delights. The love of the good shepherd is a love that delights. And so in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And so this is a picture of a feast, right? I come from Georgia, go Dogs. And one of the things that I loved about being in the South was a good old-fashioned church potluck. Anybody had one of those? Okay, oh man, so good. Now the church that I grew up in, okay, there didn't need to be a special occasion for it. It was like second Sunday of March, potluck dinner, right? Third Sunday of October, nothing special, but we're having a potluck, right? And so I love that. So I remember as a kid, like the potluck dinners and just going into where the food was, and there was like table after table after table of all of this food. I mean, fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, okay, all the fixins, that's a Southern thing, okay, all the fixins and casseroles that you could ever want. Some were good and some they're the ones that just no one touches, right? It's like one bite out of it. Everybody's like, stay away from that one, right? And that poor person has to take home a full plate of food. So if you're nice, you just go and dump it all in the tree. Okay. So, but I remember that. And as a kid, okay, as like a late elementary school, early middle school, me and my buddies would have competitions about who could eat the most food, okay? And so we would go with a plate and we'd pile it and we'd eat it. And then we'd stack that plate and then go get another plate and pile it. And we'd see who could have the most plates of food eaten, right? And so we would eat and we would eat and we would eat until we were so full. And then we saw the dessert table. All right, and then the dessert table. I mean, it had every cookie you can imagine, brownie, cake, pie. I mean, it had everything. And I remember my parents would be like, hey, you can only have like one or two. I'd be like, okay, Mom, go get one or two. And then like 5 minutes later, go get another one or two. And then another one or two. I was like, oh, I thought you meant just on my plate at one time. Like one or two on my plate, and then I can get another plate. But it's just this idea of like eating and eating and eating. And that is this picture that David is trying to paint, that God is preparing a feast. He's preparing a feast for you. And so when we come out of the valley of the shadow of death, we come out not just with an appetizer, not just with a little bit of bread to hold us over, but God preparing, the good shepherd preparing a feast for us. And he's prepared this feast not in private, but in public. He's not embarrassed with you despite your struggles, despite your failures, despite your sin. Like the good shepherd is not, he's not embarrassed. He puts this feast out in public. He's not throwing a party out tucked away somewhere where nobody knows where it's at. He's throwing this party in public because he delights in you. He loves you. See, he's preparing that feast in the presence of your enemies so that they are aware of his pleasure in you. He's preparing this feast so that they are aware that our God delights in us. He's preparing this feast in the presence of our enemies so that our enemies can see that they have a God who cares and loves them. That's what he's doing. He's preparing this feast. He wants to make sure that everyone knows that he delights in you. But he actually puts an exclamation on top of this. It says it in kind of this very next phrase, okay, that he anoints our head with oil. See, in this time period, people who were in mourning, people who are coming out of the valley of the shadow of death would actually wear like sackcloths, and they would put ashes on themselves, but they actually might anoint their own head with oil, kind of as a symbol of trying to move towards gladness, trying to move away from the valley of shadow of death. So they would anoint their own head with oil to try to remind them like, oh, I can come out of this. There's still gladness. But here's the thing. If someone else were to anoint your head with oil, it says that you are a prized relationship. If someone else were to anoint your head with oil, it says that you are the guest of honor. And so it's this picture of God, the good shepherd, anointing our head with oil, saying, you, I delight in you. You are the honored guest. You are a prized relationship. I love you. I delight in you. So he anoints your head with oil. And then and he goes one step further. He takes your cup and he pours into it to when it's overflowing. He pours in his goodness, his infinite goodness and his infinite fullness and his infinite love into your cup until it overflows, until it's running over. It's kind of like going to the gas station, like 7-Eleven, okay? And you get like that 107-ounce drink, okay? It's like this big and you put it under the fountain and you're like filling it up with your favorite soda. So you're like, Dr. Pepper is like my go-to, right? And so I'm filling it up and then all the bubbles are coming out. You're like pouring the bubbles out because you want more soda, right? And it starts to come up and it starts to overflow because you want it to be the best. You want it to have the most. And that's what God is doing. He's filling your cup until it overflows with his goodness. And see, this is kind of a confrontational passage, especially if you feel like God is just tolerating you. If you feel like you just feel like God is just always disappointed in you, that God, I just mess up too much. I'm too broken. Like, God, you don't really like, I'm just waiting for you just to spite me. Or like, God, I wish maybe someday you'll like me. See, what's happening here is that you're showing up to this feast and God is running. The good shepherd is running towards you. He's running towards you, preparing this feast for you, anointing your head with oil, overflowing your cup. And even in the presence of your enemies, letting everyone know that he delights in his children, that you are beloved. Man, what a beautiful picture that is of how God's love, how the good shepherd's love delights in us. But it doesn't stop there. The love of the good shepherd is also a love that pursues us. It's a love that pursues us, that chases us. First part of verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. One of my favorite movies growing up was the movie Babe. Anybody ever seen Babe? Yeah. Okay, if you don't know anything about this movie, it's about a pig who was raised by sheepdogs, and then it wanted to be a sheepdog itself. And so, like, it was a pig that was then a sheepdog, and it was, like, chasing sheep around. It was good. It was a great movie. Okay, I don't know if I liked it for, like, the story as much as I liked it because it had talking farm animals. Okay, but this was a good movie. It won a whole bunch of awards in Australia, so that's good. If you haven't watched it, you should. There's a second one too. It's Babe in the City. Yeah, I know. I don't know how you're going to be a sheepdog in the city, but okay. But one thing I learned while watching this movie was that a shepherd does not go anywhere without his sheepdog. A shepherd doesn't go anywhere without his sheepdog. When the shepherd goes out to gather their sheep from the field, okay, or from the hills, they bring and bring them into the pens. Their dogs go with them, right? Because their dogs are kind of, they will run in these kind of wide arcs over the hills to chase the sheep, okay? To chase the sheep in the direction the shepherd wants them to go. And so sheepdogs, okay, they're like super highly trained. They're very intelligent. They're smart creatures. They're hardworking. And no shepherd will ever be without them. And see, the good shepherd has two sheepdogs. And one is called goodness, and the other one is called mercy. And I love that picture. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The good shepherd keeps us close, herds us in to himself through his goodness and his mercy that are always chasing after us, that are always pursuing us. And so let's take a few minutes just to look at these two lovely sheepdogs. The first one, again, being goodness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I know some of you might be sitting here and you're like, well, my life is full of not so great things. Like my life is full of just terrible things that have happened. And we could all probably make lists of all the things in our life that aren't going the way that we want them to. And that's because sin is devastating, okay? And it has brought devastating effects into our world. And things are not as they should be. In the world or in our country or in our workplaces or in our churches or even in our homes or sometimes even in our own hearts. But there is good in your life too. There is good things. And here's what we need to understand about good things. Okay, James in James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And so what we have to understand is that we have to look at the good things in our life and understand those things, like God is the only one who gives us good things. See, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. It comes from God. See, everything good in your life comes from the loving hands of God. And so we need to thank him for it. So we need to think about the good things and then thank him for it. But here's the thing. Sinners blame God for everything and thank him for nothing. But as believers in a good God, we should thank God for everything and blame him for nothing. Because goodness is God giving us what we don't deserve. And if you belong to the good shepherd, God's goodness is always pursuing you, is always chasing you, even in the difficult times. Brian shared a story, if you were here or watching online with us last week, Brian shared a story about a family who was going through the valley. But God's goodness was there. There was goodness chasing them. And so if you belong to the good shepherd, his goodness is pursuing you. Second is his mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so if God's goodness is God giving us everything things that we don't deserve, mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. You see, God chases us. He pursues us with mercy. And that is good news. That is amazing news, because if God chased after us in justice, we would be in big trouble. Most of you know the destruction of fire. I think a month ago, the Marshall Fire that happened out in Boulder, okay, it was about a month ago, became the most destructive fire in Colorado history when it came to property damage and loss of homes. It destroyed almost 1,000 homes. And actually, it took the spot, the top destruction from the Black Forest fire that happened here in Colorado Springs not too long ago. And a lot of you can remember that. You lived here. Maybe you know somebody who lost things, or maybe you yourself lost things in those fires. Or even the Waldo Canyon fire. And so we're not naive. Okay, we're people who are not naive to the destruction of fire, the destruction of our wildfire. But did you know that the Bible actually uses that picture of a fire to describe God's judgment against the wicked? Psalms 83, verse 14, and talking about God's judgment. It's as fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountain ablaze. That's how God's judgment pursues the wicked. A wildfire sweeping over the mountain, consuming everything in its path. And so thank God that in Christ Jesus, he does not chase after us with the wildfire of judgment. that he chases after us. He pursues us in mercy. See, if God was chasing after you with judgment and condemnation, of course you would run the other way. You would run away from that God. But he chases after us with goodness and mercy. Romans 2:4, God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. See, God's goodness, his mercy, his kindness is actually there to lead us to be closer to him. See, God, the good shepherd, uses goodness and mercy, chasing after us, pursuing us, to draw us closer to himself, to draw us closer so that he can lead us. And see, David is in no doubt about this. He says at the very beginning of this verse, surely goodness and mercy follow me. And so when you belong to the good shepherd, you can be sure about this. You can be sure about it, that God chases after you. He pursues you, not in judgment and condemnation, but in goodness and in mercy. And so if Jesus is the shepherd that you are following, you can be sure about that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, David already said that the good shepherd leads his sheep. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of his righteousness for his name's sake. See, the shepherd is in front of the sheep, leading the sheep. But now he says that the shepherd's goodness and mercy will follow the sheep. And so in Christ, you're actually encircled by the love of Christ. You're encircled by his goodness, his mercy. You see, when the Lord again is your shepherd, you are surrounded by all sides with his goodness, his mercy, his love. God is behind you. He's before you. He's beside you. He's beneath you. He's above you. And nothing can separate you. It says it in Romans 8:39, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus, our Lord. And so all the days of my life, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When you belong to the good shepherd, this will always be true. I love what Jerry Bridges says this so well. He says, your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. So I think we need to hear that. Because some days we think, man, I'm so good, I'm so great, like I'm doing everything perfect, I don't really need it. But you do. And there are other days where we feel like, oh, I'm so messed up, I'm so broken, I've sinned so much that, man, I'm so far away from God, I'm beyond the reach. No, you're never beyond the reach, and you'll never be beyond the need God's mercy, his goodness, his grace. And so if you belong to Jesus, it does not matter where you find yourself today. If you've given into temptation, God's goodness and his mercy is still following you. If you've spoken careless to your spouse or to your kids or to a friend, God's goodness and his mercy is still following you. If you have failed in any other way, God's goodness and his mercy is still following you, pursuing you. And this is how the good shepherd keeps us close to himself. Goodness and mercy. Well, we see that the love of the good shepherd is a love that delights. It's a love that pursues. And lastly, it's a love that welcomes. It's a love that welcomes. Second part of verse 6, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so here we go. Even though there will be challenges to go through, which we all have that, right? We all have challenges in our life. We have things that we're going through. Even if we like to put on a face and make it look like everything is good, we have challenges. So even though there will be challenges to go through, we have something to go to. Man, we have something to go to. Author Larry Moody wrote this. He said, we are not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're actually in the land of the dying going to the land of the living. And doesn't that feel so true sometimes? that everything in this world, everything in this life seems to be getting worse and worse. The valleys seem to be getting darker and longer to get through. See, we are in a land of the dead, of the decaying, a land that is devastated by sin and corruption. But man, do we have something to look forward to. Man, we have something to look forward to. And I mean, we get to spend eternity with God. We get to dwell in the presence of the Lord Almighty. And man, I would argue that being in the presence of God, dwelling with God, is the most important thing about heaven. Like it's even better than not having any pain or sorrow or sickness or tears, or better than the pearly gates or the road, you know, the mansions and the roads of like those things are great and I'm looking forward to those things. But being in the presence of God, that's the most important thing about heaven, that we get to dwell with him forever. And see, there's nothing else that fires up David more than this, the dwelling with God. And I would argue that there should be nothing that fires up the saints more than the idea of dwelling with God and being in his presence. Because we were created for that. We were created to be in the presence of God. There is no life outside of that. It should be the thing that we long for. It should be the backdrop of everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think. It should be the thing that's in our mind that's saying, this is in the backdrop, is this idea of dwelling, being in the presence with God. And see, David, he says this throughout Psalms. Like, he loves being in the presence of God. Psalms 27 says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Just think about this. This is King David speaking. His kingdom is surrounded by enemies. He spent most of his life at war. His home life is a train wreck, right? It is so messed up. Yet there was something inside of David. Something that he knew that if he was in the presence of God, if he could just dwell with God, that everything would be okay. Now, it doesn't mean that his circumstances would change. But he did know that if he could dwell with God, if he could be in the presence of God, that it could bring him strength, it could bring him hope, it could bring him to see the goodness and the love of God. And we see that when David, when he feels like he's not in the presence of God, when he feels like he's not close to God or can't see God, he actually talks like a man who is in agony. Psalms chapter 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. My God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Psalm 63, you, God, are my God. I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, like a man in the desert that just needs a drink of water. See, the presence of God was so important to David. See, the presence of God is the pursuit of the Christian life. And David is ending this powerful psalm with this idea that I get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it's not just future. It's not just future tense. This is actually a present future tense that he actually is saying, I'm dwelling with you and I get to dwell with you forever. You see, it's important as Christians to not just think that it's when we die that we get to dwell with God. See, if we are a Christ follower, if we are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is already dwelling inside of us, giving us full access to God right now. I mean, Jesus says this in John chapter 14, says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. You know him, for he lives with you and will be with you." See, Jesus says right here that he will send the Holy Spirit to live within you. And see, as Christ followers, you get to dwell in the presence of God now and for eternity. You get to dwell in the presence of God in every moment of every day. But here's a question. How are you orienting your life around the presence of God? See, it's not enough just to know that we can dwell with God, but how are we actually orienting our life? How are we actually fixing our eyes upon being in the presence of God? And I'm not talking about like to add like a whole bunch of things to your life. I'm not saying be here at the church 24/7 and that's being in the presence of God. I'm talking about in the normal things in life. You wake up on Monday morning, you go to work, you come home. You wake up Tuesday, you go to work, you come home. You wake up Wednesday, you go, like in the normal things in life, how are you orienting your life around dwelling and being in the presence of God? Like, how are you soaking up the word? How are you soaking up the word? How are you finding spaces to talk with God, to be in his presence throughout the day? How are you asking the questions like, how as best as I can I put myself into the presence of God or be aware of the presence of God in my life? How are you orienting your life around the presence of God? Because it's not enough just to be like, oh, someday I get to be there. Because God wants us to dwell with him now. And so David is kind of wrapping the Psalms up with the whole point of Scripture. I mean, this is the gospel story, verses 5 and 6. That God delights in you. And his goodness and mercy is forever in the broken, the sinful, the struggler, the weary, the busted, the lonely, the desperate. And on top of that, that we are welcomed. We are invited into the presence of God right now and in the future. You see, friends, we have a God that we can go to that delights in us. A God that chases us and pursues us with goodness and mercy. And welcomes us into his presence here on earth, as well as in eternity in heaven. And so this morning, what truth needs to resonate with you? What do you need to hear? What do you need to take from today? Is it that God delights in you? Maybe you feel like you've messed up way too much. It's like, God will never delight in me. I'm just exhausting to God. Like, God is always disappointed in me. And maybe you need to hear the truth that God delights in you. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. He overflows your cup because he delights in you. Maybe that's the truth you need to leave here with. Or maybe this morning you need to leave with the truth that God is not chasing you with condemnation and judgment. That if you know the good shepherd, that he is chasing you with goodness and in mercy. And so maybe you feel like, man, you're just too far from God. And maybe you feel like you've been running from God because you've messed up in some big way. And it took everything you could to be here this morning. But you're kind of going in the opposite direction. Maybe you need to hear that God is pursuing you with his goodness and his mercy because he wants to draw you close to him. He wants to draw you close. Now, maybe this morning you know those. You know that God delights in you. You know that he loves you. You know that he's pursuing you with goodness and mercy. And those things, you know those things. Maybe today, maybe you've never been orienting your life around the presence of God. Maybe you're good about coming on Sunday mornings or going to a Bible study, but the day-to-day, the ins and outs, that you are not orienting your life around the presence of God. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. You might need to work to get to the place that David was, where he longed to dwell with God. He longed, he thirsted to be in the presence of God. And so maybe today you need to be longing for God, thirsting for him more than ever. And then maybe for someone else in this room, maybe you know those things, and maybe you have been orienting your life around the presence of God. Maybe you just need to hear the encouragement, the good news, that there is a place built for you at the other side of this life. There is eternity. You get to spend in the presence of God. You get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Maybe you just need to walk out with that encouragement. The 23rd Psalm teaches us, even though I don't have everything I want, I have everything I need. Even though life may appear overwhelming, God's presence is permanent. Even though there will be challenges to go through, I have something to go to. And I pray that no matter what season of life you find yourself in, maybe it's the best season and you feel like, man, everything is going great. Or maybe for you, it's the worst season that you've ever walked through. My prayer is that you will hold on to these truths that Psalms 23 teaches. And as we wrap up this morning, I want to bring us to a passage of scripture found in Revelation 4:8. And it's a picture of what's going on in heaven. It says this, it says, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And see, in heaven, we're going to be proclaiming this day and night. But you know what's incredible? Is that we can do that right now. We can be proclaiming, holy is the Lord, even though we aren't there yet, even though we're not in eternity yet. So even though we may not have everything we want, even though we might be in the valley, even though we might be facing challenges, we can all sing, holy is the Lord. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. God, you are holy. You are just. You are good. You are merciful. You are full of grace and love. God, help us remember who you are as the good shepherd. That you have a love that delights in us. That you have a love that pursues us, and you have a love that welcomes us into your presence. And so God, help us be a people who long for that. God, help us be a people who long to be in your presence, to long to dwell with you, not just in eternity, but here on this earth right now, even though we may be facing problems, maybe facing challenges, might be in the valley of the shadow of death. God, help us to long and thirst for your presence in our life. God, we love you because you love us. And you are the good shepherd. And so let us sing this song together. Holy is the Lord. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.